Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, this is Chris Roby, and right across from me, across my screen, is Carly Duke.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, so Carly, today we wanted to indulge a little bit and talk about something really near and dear to us, the kind of the reason that the Teen Life Podcast exists. And, you know, a little while ago, Carly was talking to me about, have we talked about this before specifically? And we're not certain that we have. We've been recording this podcast for a really long time. And so anyone who's keeping archives of this might disagree, but more power to you if we have done this. But, you know, we talk a lot about different counseling techniques and different ways that your teenager that you care for and serve can get mental health support or help. What we do at Teen Life is a very specific thing. Like kind of our, like the podcast isn't our main work. This is something that we do because we care so much about teenagers, and we want to make sure that those who work with teenagers have good resources. That's why we do this. Right. And it really fills in greatly with our mission. But our main work in the community, what we do most of our work with, is support groups. We want to talk a little bit about what support groups are, what they're not, and maybe it will help educate a little bit about the power of what a support group actually is, and kind of the different ways you see them manifest. And so I'm excited that we're talking about this, Carly.
Yeah. So let's start by maybe the question that we get the most, Chris, which is, are support groups counseling?
The quick answer is no. And they look really, really similar. And, you know, depending on the kind of support group that you're a part of, obviously that can differ from place to place. The way we define support groups really is about prevention, and it's about staying ahead of the problems that maybe a teenager would face. And we're not really looking to clean up things as much. Mm-hmm. Now, there are support groups that are kind of helping with that. But for the most part, support groups are going to be led by members of the community, volunteers, right, people who can facilitate a really good conversation. And honestly, the most important thing is keeping it safe for mm-hmm. those participants. And so, and that's obviously the same in a counseling group too. But a counseling group, you're going to have a licensed therapist that has techniques, that has insight into different ways of discussing topics and to using the, you know, leveraging that group of people for a certain result. They're going to dive a lot deeper into the past and trying to evaluate different things that have happened and traumas. Mm-hmm. But really, in support groups, especially the way that we work in them, we are really trying to focus on now and the future. And so those two things together is really what makes that a little different.
Right. I also love that they are very much member led. Mm-hmm. Like in our context with teenagers, we do have a adult facilitator, but we really want the group members to support each other instead of a counseling group that is kind of more driven by maybe the counselor or the person who's in charge. Our groups, our support groups, is about the group coming together. Mm-hmm. It's asking really good questions and letting the group answer that and kind of decide what's best for them. And I feel like that's what makes it a little different, but also really cool. And in the Teen Life context, we want to talk about support groups in general, but for Teen Life, ours run around 8 weeks, usually like maybe an hour a week. And so it's not this huge time drain, but it's enough time for students to get together, to feel safe, to ask questions, and to also kind of reflect on what's going on with them. It's very activity driven, so that when they're leaving with something that they can apply, but they don't feel like they just sat there and got drained. I'll link this, Chris, because it's one of my favorite things that we do in the training. In our training, we show a clip from The Office where Michael is trying to get everyone to, it's after a death, right?
It is after the death of his old boss that everyone else hated.
Yes. And he like makes everyone like tell a story about someone they've lost. And like in this episode, the characters go off and start describing movie plot lines instead of actually talking about themselves, but that's not what our support groups do. Like, we're not just sitting in a circle and saying, like, what's your deepest, darkest fear? What's the worst thing that ever happened to you? And making kids talk about it. It's fun. It's engaging. We do Play-Doh and crayons. And it's just really a way that's using really simple tools, but in a way that gets teenagers to feel safe and like, hey, I can speak up and be a part of this.
Well, and I think to that end, I think I like that you brought up that Office clip, because that group, if you've ever watched that clip before, that group did not have a purpose other than to feed the ego of the leader. Right. And so the purpose of all these groups, like, and we just in general at Teen Life believe that groups have a purpose, mm-hmm. whether or not it's a support group or it's a family or it's a workplace or a church group or a team. Like, they gather for a period of time to accomplish something, right? Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's a short window or it's a long horizon time frame, like with a family, they're trying to accomplish something together. And the same thing with a group. When a group of students come together with a leader and a counselor from a school, like kind of how we're set up, we're trying to accomplish something together. Mm-hmm. And you only accomplish something with boundaries and expectations, which is something that we do. We talk a lot about, you know, what are the do's and don'ts of group? But we have something that we're trying to accomplish through that 8 weeks. And when that 8 weeks is done, our job is over. Like our mission's completed and we'll move on maybe to another group or do something different. But it's limited in scope in person. And it's not really meant to be an ongoing thing. And that kind of gets into little weeds of counseling stuff. But one of the things that we really do care deeply about at Teen Life is that if you're going to come be a part of a support group, that it doesn't become something you're dependent on. That it's not a codependent relationship where I can only get out of bed because I've got support group that day. Mm-hmm. That might be a starting place. But that's not where we want you to be long term. We want you to be something that's going to have a purpose to move you forward in life. And that otherwise, we're kind of, you know, maybe support groups aren't the best thing for you at that point. Mm-hmm. But all these groups have a purpose and a reason to exist. And it's kind of cool as you're together with people doing that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to talk about why we think they help, because mm-hmm. obviously we believe in this. We're passionate about it. It's what we do. And so we think that there are huge benefits to support groups. And I think the first thing is we're connecting students to other peers.
Right.
So whether they have a lot of friends and they're seeing a different side to someone that they go to school with, or it's someone new to campus and they have no connection, we hope that they leave that group going, I at least have one other person that they know what I'm going through and they're going to check on me and there's someone that I could go to if I needed something. And I just really love that.
Yeah. And I think along with that, something I love is that it forces teenagers to reckon with each other face to face and see each other as people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot, we get asked a lot, like, do you do these groups co-ed? Do you do these groups, you know, boys only, girls only? And we talk a lot about, you know, the more powerful groups that we run are the ones that are heterogeneous. They are, you know, a big mix of different kinds of mm-hmm. students from different walks of life, from different education backgrounds, even sexualities, orientations, religious beliefs, because they have to reckon with each other in a group. And so we talk a lot about how when a teenager has to sit and listen to someone talk, they start to form commonality. They realize, oh, this person's not a boogeyman. mm-hmm. This person's not the other. This someone is a lot like me and deals with similar issues that I do. And so we really believe in these group formats that when there are good, healthy boundaries that we maintain, that a student can really hear another perspective and get a whole lot from them and build relationships with people they might never have before. I know, Carly, you talk about your first group experience, mm-hmm. right? Of having a similar experience, right?
Right. So I was actually in a support group, a Teen Life support group, when I was in high school. And I went to a small Christian school. I would have said I knew basically not everyone closely, but I knew who everyone was. And I sat in this group with, I think, like 7 other kids and realized very quickly, I know nothing about what they have going on in their life. Mm-hmm. I walk these halls every day with them and I have no idea that they're struggling with parent issues, with living with grandparents, with insecurities, that they hid so well because that's just what's expected. But when you sit in a group and you're having to be vulnerable, and then you're having to sit and listen to someone else be vulnerable, and it's that give and take, mm-hmm. I feel like that's so important for teenagers to learn that. And they're not always getting that in a classroom setting.
Right.
Like when you're talking about math, you're probably not opening up about something that is vulnerable or very personal to you. And so it's really an opportunity to get different perspectives. And like you said, when you put a face to that, it makes a huge difference. Than just hearing about it or reading about it or knowing someone who knows someone. But when you're like, oh, they're a person. And that's what I don't think very often, like these students leave these groups with a new best friend, but they have someone that when they see them in the hall, they can give them a head nod or a fist bump or like, hey, how are you doing? Which is just really cool that they're being exposed to different people outside of just their friend group.
Well, and two, I mean, you know how it feels to have gone through something with someone that you can only relate to them about.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't mean they're your best friend, but you know, we've been through something together and, we even grew together during that thing. Like my wife talks a lot about, with one of her former jobs, she worked at a hospital and it was a pediatric hospital and her team. They went kind of, they would say to hell and back just with really difficult, horrible situations that only they understood. Like my wife could come home to me, explain to me, I wasn't there. It sounded horrible, but I could not relate to that because I wasn't there. And same thing with a support group is like, you know, they can all talk about this one thing that we did together and, or maybe the advice or counsel that the facilitator gave that was really, really helpful, or maybe just a breakthrough that one of their friends had that they can talk about. There's some sameness in that. And it doesn't mean they're going to go and high five and do, you know, hang out all weekend. But when you see each other in the hall, we were in group together and can't take that away.
Yeah. Now, outside of just peers, one of the biggest benefits that students get is connection to an adult, a trusted adult. And so in the teen life context, we try to pair a community volunteer, a community facilitator who's using their free time to come in with a school staff member, usually a counselor. And so in our groups, really, they get two trusted adults. They get someone on their school campus and they also know, hey, there's someone who cares enough about me to show up. They're not getting paid for it, but they just want to be here and listen. And it's so powerful to watch them realize, oh, wow, there's someone that cares about me. And we talk a lot about Chris. Like a lot of times when we train our volunteers, we tell them, you're not going to agree with everything that every student says in your group. The power is not that you agree with them. The power is that even when you disagree, you still show up the next week. Mm-hmm. And you still say, hey, I still care about you. And we can have a disagreement. And that's okay because I'm going to show up next week and we're going to keep going.
Which is such a foreign concept for so many kids because, you know, whether or not, I mean, whatever political side of the aisle you're on, I mean, people on the internet want to destroy those who they disagree with. That's just kind of a thing on the internet. And that's what kids see. And so they assume that's how relationships are. If I don't agree with your lifestyle or I don't believe, you don't believe the same way I believe, then we're supposed to just destroy each other, right?
Right.
And what support groups do is like, no, disagreement and conflict is a healthy part of being a human being. And you learn how to deal with that conflict and realize that there's really more to that person than that issue or that belief. There's much more commonality than anyone would like you to believe. So in support groups, you have to reckon with one another, and the adults especially have to say, or we actually ask them not to say they disagree, but to listen and support and show up next week. And there's so much power in that because they're not seeing that anywhere else in their life. An adult that will continue to show up, whether or not they agree or that was a good group, I'm going to be back next week.
Yeah. Well, and we also say teenagers have a lot of teachers in their life. They already have parents in their life. And so we encourage our facilitators just to come in and be a trusted listening ear. Mm-hmm. Ask really good questions. You don't have to tell them where they're wrong or what they're doing. But there's power in that of having an adult that you feel safe with outside of family. And a lot of our teenagers don't have that. The more and more I do groups, I realize they don't. They might not even have one person that they feel safe, one adult that they feel safe with. And so we can offer that. Another thing, just anecdotally, I feel like we haven't like fully surveyed this, but I really strongly believe it's true. This is an easy entry into therapy or counseling. So it's not counseling, but it is an accessible way. It's on their school campus for them to get help, for them to sit and listen and talk. And so we really think they're more likely to ask for help moving forward. And we do hear that from our students. They say, moving forward, I'm going to ask for help when I need it. I know who to go to. I have someone that I can talk to. And those are really important things too.
Yeah, we call it mental health triage sometimes, where a student will come in and we realize that maybe not every student needs intensive psychotherapy or even weekly counseling sessions, mm-hmm. but maybe they just need someone to talk to. Plenty of them do need a more intensive interventions. And because they sat in a group, they get a light touch version of what that is. And they're much more likely to say, yes, I'll take that next step because I realize this is actually a safe environment.
Yeah. Now, we also talk a lot in our groups about life skills. So we're talking about courage. We're talking about connection. We're talking about ups and downs of life, relationships, stuff like that. So they are also leaving with life skills, practical things that they can do, a new maybe view on their life or their situation that's going to help. But the thing that I really love most about support groups is that it offers hope.
Right.
Kind of this idea that it can get better and you don't have to be stuck in your story where you are right now, but you can change and life can get better. And that hope is something that's really, really, really important.
So we also want to kind of leave you with a call to action of like, you know, if you hear this, like what can I actually do here? This sounds great. Because usually when mm-hmm. I talk to people just in general in our community about this, there is that like, oh, this is great. What can I do? And we encourage you to, if nothing else, support Teen Life. This work that we're doing is important. And we have a lot of data to show that. And we want more and more teenagers to have access to services like this. So just supporting Teen Life, whether it's financially or telling someone about what we do, is super, super helpful. And we're pretty shoestring operation on just how we run things. And we're able to do a lot with a little. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's a $5 a month donation or just some small gift, you're like, hey, I like what these guys do. I'm going to support them. Any amount helps mm-hmm. Teen Life for sure.
Yeah, I'll post that link as well and the link to volunteer. Because if you're listening going, hey, I can do that. I can be that adult for someone. I can do 45 minutes to an hour a week for 8 weeks. We have an online volunteer training, so you don't even have to leave your house. You can do it at your own pace. But it's going to teach you and walk you through how to be that trusted adult for a student and how to ask really good questions. And so if you would like to volunteer for a school district, we can find a place to plug you in. We're always mm-hmm. looking for volunteers. And then another big way that honestly doesn't take much is advocate for support groups at your school. So if there aren't support groups at your school, go talk to your counselor and ask like, hey, what would it take to get a support group started here? You can connect us to them and we can kind of take that over. But that's a really cool way to help teenagers around you is by being like, hey, let's get a group going and let's create a safe space for them to talk and connect. Okay, for the trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about the X app. I guess that, would you just call it X?
I guess so, yeah.
The X app, it's weird. I don't like it. So this is Twitter's new persona, I suppose, thanks to Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of goes in line with some of Elon's other companies like SpaceX. Mm-hmm. And there was another one. I forgot what it was. But
I think his original company was X.com or something. I think you're like right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a big thing for him. The thing I noticed is the new logo, which is an X, but the screen behind it looks like a cracked screen. Have you noticed that? It's mm-hmm. like black yeah. and it's got cracks. And the first time I saw it, I thought my screen was cracked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, a lot of people. Yeah, I was like, what is happening here? And so if you're looking for that little blue Twitter bird, it is no longer on your phone.
I like the Twitter bird too.
Me too. Now, I do have a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this. What do you call them now? Like they were tweets. What?
No one knows. I use Twitter just, and I'm going to keep calling Twitter because that's what I've used, in sure. the past, but you know, there's no, is this, am I Xing right now? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't, I do know that they're not called retweets anymore. They're called reposts. So I do know okay. that, but the rest of it, I have no, I think they're probably just going to be called posts. That's my assumption.
So boring.
It really is.
So boring. So I bring this up. I don't think that Twitter is maybe as popular with teenagers as it once was. However, I know a lot of teens, especially boys, on it because that's where they keep up with sports. Mm-hmm. And that's where they post clips. And that's where people come, like, especially for recruiting purposes. If they're in high school and maybe looking to do something else, Twitter is kind of where it's at. Honestly, I use Twitter X, whatever it's called. Basically, like, if my internet goes out, to see if that's a thing for everyone else or just me.
Yeah, it's a good place for like immediate information, like weather yes. or sports or news or like, you know, some kind of
school closings.
School closing. It's very quick. It's a very quick service, and but yeah, beyond that, it's not as useful.
Yeah, from my research, basically, he's wanting this to become the one-stop shop app. Now, we'll see if he accomplishes that. But basically, he said Twitter made sense when it was just 140 characters going back and forth, like birds tweeting. But now you can post almost anything. You can post videos, long videos. I read that they're trying to get shopping on the app. They're going to maybe do paid subscriptions. And so he's wanting to get away from just the back and forth that was Twitter, but kind of make it the app where you can go get everything. I will ask though, Chris, so like I said, I don't use this. Have you seen any huge changes other than the name and the logo so far?
There's been a lot of ridicule of the name and the name change from actual like users of Twitter. And if you have been on there very long, like people have been predicting Twitter's demise ever since Elon Musk bought it. And even before that, they, you know, people were going down, but the thing is people still use it. I mean, and so yeah. it's like, you know, Facebook, this is something we can talk about in a future episode. Facebook created Threads, which is supposedly a Twitter killer, which it for about 2 weeks, people got on it and were really big into it. And I don't know anyone else has used it. Like it's kind of gone now. And so people are pretty loyal to the place, you know, their habits and their platforms. And so people complain about it and gripe about it, but it's like, I mean, you kind of just tell have your big, you know, especially for adults, your big services like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Those are kind of the big three. It just depends on what you're looking for, but no, I mean, it's, yeah, people definitely make fun of it and gripe about it, but they're griping about it while they're using it. So
whatever. As long as they use it, it's not going anywhere.
Who cares? Right.
Right. We'll keep you updated, though, as changes come out. If there are any big changes, we'll obviously let you know about that in the future. Okay, for the tip this time, Chris, first I want to open up with some changes are coming to the Teen Life podcast starting next episode. So we're excited about it, but Chris is going to take a step back from the podcast for a little bit of time. He's not leaving Teen Life or going anywhere. And Chris, I'm already inviting you to the Teen Life podcast Christmas party.
I still get that invite?
Yes, of course. Right. You have to join us for the Christmas party, but Chris will not be co-hosting with me on a week-to-week basis. So you got to show up next week to see who's joining because I'm not going to spoil that surprise. But I think what we have coming is going to be so fun. And you'll see maybe even a little bit of format change. We'll see what happens. So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of this podcast is not changing. And the work that we're doing is not changing. And that is to help you connect to teenagers. So keep coming back for trends, for tips, and for ways to connect with your teenager. But Chris, I wanted to open the floor to you to see if you have a tip to kind of leave us off with before you take a break.
Absolutely. Before I do that, one of the things I think is really important to state. So the Teen Life podcast has been around a really long time. It started a long time ago as the Stay Calm, Don't Panic podcast, which I just can't believe we did that. We don't have the resources at the time to go back and change all that. It is what it is.
Yeah, you can go find those in the archives if you really want to.
Yeah, but we started as a long form podcast, and we traveled all over town with our little box of podcast microphones. Mm-hmm. And what's remarkable is that we've been doing this a very long time. Like mm-hmm. it is in podcast land, we are the old guys. And when you talk to people who have younger, much bigger podcasts, they're in awe of the fact that we've done this for such a long time. And so I'm really proud of that as someone who's been a part of it since day one. But it really made a lot of sense as we were talking about this for Carly to be the constant voice of Teen Life, the Teen Life podcast, because she took over the producer role a couple of years ago and has just done a phenomenal job. And the quality of what we're doing has just been just second to none. And so it really made a lot of sense as we were talking about, you know, we've done this format for a couple of years now. Let's try something new. And it really made sense for me to step aside and get some other voices, but for Carly to be that constant voice. So Carly, incredible job. I'm looking Thanks, forward Chris. To hearing what you guys are going to come up with over the next few weeks. I'll be listening along, and then obviously I'll be popping back on. But for as for the tip, the thing that I really care about when working with teenagers and talking to people about working with teenagers, and I've been doing this for a really long time now, and I think a big North Star thing for me is serving teenagers does not ever mean feeling like you have to relate to teenagers, because that's a moving target. And I really want to encourage anyone who cares about teenagers, or maybe you're like, you know, I feel like I'm too old, or I don't know pop culture. You know, I'm not, you know, the trends are just too fast for me to keep up with. Well, welcome to the club, honestly. Like, it is really hard to keep up with anything in pop culture, because it's just always changing. Mm. And so if you feel the proclivity to relate, and it's like, I got to know all the terms, you're really chasing the wind. And when we're working with teenagers, we encourage you not to feel like you have to relate, but to be curious. And curiosity is the name of the game when it comes to working with anyone, especially with students, and admitting what you don't know, and being transparent that way. And I just got to tell you that teenagers from all walks of life will open up to you if you're just curious about them, and ask good questions and get to know them, because you'll be filling a role that no one else is filling. And so I really want to encourage you as you're listening to this, if you hear anything from me over these last however many years we've been doing this, is connect through curiosity, and those teenagers in your life will see you as a resource, see someone as someone they can trust because you care about them. With that, I'm going to sign off with our outro. If you love the Teen Life podcast, we encourage you to subscribe. Tell someone else about this over social media, or just subscribe to our social media feed. We've got some of the best social media out there. I'm really proud of Kelly and all the work that she does on this podcast and just general social media and making us look great. And so subscribe to Teen Life on Facebook, X, any other Instagram. We have a big presence on Instagram as well. And so definitely check that out. With that, with new folks, we'll see you next week.